Well, hello. Welcome to the monthly session. This is Mark Little. This is the time each month where we go through, well, whatever content that you've asked me to go through. Each and every month, I go through the questions that come in through the program, and I try to pick the ones that I think that are going to be the most useful to you, and I package them together, and we go through it during this session each month. This month, interestingly, I got a question from a bunch of new members who were just really asking the same question over and over. And in essence, you know, Mark, could you give me an overview of the entire Financial Advisor Mastery Program? Like, what is this all about? What are we trying to accomplish? And, you know, what's the big picture? So I'm going to go through it. If you've been in the program for a while, you may see things that look familiar. What's interesting is, since I actually implemented everything that I'm teaching, nothing has changed in the last 25 years. I've been in this business for 40 years. If I'm being honest, it's been 23 years since I implemented all of this. So I was in the business for a while. Built up a horrible, horrible business, built a business that I was actually contemplating leaving the industry because I really had built a monstrosity of a horrible business. And then everything changed. At that point in my career where I was deciding, am I going to stay and turn this into something really that I can be proud of? Or am I just going to go find something else to do? It was in that moment that I got a bunch of really good coaching, really, really extraordinary coaches who helped me put together everything that I implemented. And so this program is nothing more than a review of everything that I've implemented 23 years ago. That's when I made the change. It just worked out this way, but I made the decision in 1999, and it was on January 1st of the year 2000 that I began implementing everything that we teach in this program. It sounds crazy, and I've told the story many, many times. I met Bill Bachrach in June of 1999 at the national conference of my broker-dealer. He was the keynote speaker. I was the number one top producer nationwide at my broker-dealer firm. So after Bill spoke at this big conference, they sat me right next to Bill at what they called a top producer's luncheon. And everything changed from that point forward. Bill asked me some very simple questions, and they had to do with, you know, basically, what if you, instead of the business that you had built, which was horrible, I had 1,242 clients. I wasn't even meeting with every client annually. Definitely was not making a difference in their lives. And Bill just asked simple questions like, what if you did a whole lot more for a whole lot fewer clients? And something that seemed impossible at the time, but what this program ends up teaching is everything that came from that point forward, everything that I developed, everything that I came up with, all the data that I gathered in the industry, all the data that I gathered about what affluent clients are actually seeking from a relationship with an advisor like us. Well, all of that got packaged up, and it wasn't until 2008 that Bill Bachrach said, why don't you package all this up into software and into a program that you can teach? And which is what I did at his request. So what we're going to go through today are the three skills that I ended up having to master. Some of them, I had mastered before I met Bill. So this is going back many, many decades. So client acquisition, that's skill number one. Client acquisition is the skill of being able to, sit down in front of enough non-clients who are seeking to do business with you so that you can grow your business. So client acquisition is a critical skill. We're going to go through it today. Now, client conversion is a very simple process, but I'll go through how I define that in a minute. And then, of course, client service. How do you deliver on the promises that you make to a client once, you know, at the beginning of the relationship. So you have a potential client, you sit down, you're talking about doing business together, or you at least have a meeting where you're exploring doing business together. And then what? Well, you spend the rest of your relationship delivering on those promises that you made to them at the point in which they hired you. So you made some promises, now it's up to you to deliver. So I've gone through it this way with people for many, many years, but let me just kind of show it to people that have been in the program for a while so you know what I'm talking about. I want to define each one of these terms so that you and I are on the same page as I go through each of these three things. So client acquisition, that's what I have always called lead generation. Client conversion, this is what often we have called lead conversion. And then client service is delivering on the promises that you make to potential clients right at the point in which they hire you. All right. So how do I define client acquisition, or what we also call lead generation? Well, I define this as your skill at being able to fill your calendar every week with lots of people who want to sit down and talk business with you. So this is the skill of being able to fill your calendar with meetings with people who want to explore doing business with you. So how are we going to measure these three things? Well, this one's easy. If your calendar is filled every week with lots of people that want to sit down and explore doing business with you, well, you're on track with client acquisition or lead generation. That means you know how to generate leads so that you can sit down and explore doing business with lots of people. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do as I go through this today is I want you to pick one of these three areas, and I want you to get back with me. I want you to reach out to me sometime before the end of this year, and I want you to let me know which of these three skills you feel is your biggest obstacle right now, because I know we all sort of, we all sort of set New Year's resolutions. I hesitate only because New Year's resolutions have a bad rap. It basically boils down to you start the year with all these great expectations, and then most New Year's resolutions just kind of fade away by Valentine's Day. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making a New Year's resolution in the heart of the term resolution. In other words, I want you to resolve that in 2024, you are going to take out whatever your biggest obstacle that's standing between you and accomplishing the goals that you've set for yourself in your business. So I want you to spend from now to the end of the year really coming to terms and being honest with yourself and candid with yourself as to which of these three skills you feel like needs the most work. And for many of you, because I've talked to many of you, this is it right here, lead generation. You can't build your business if you're not highly skilled at being able to fill your calendar with lots of people that want to sit down and explore doing business with you. So is lead generation, or what we call client acquisition, is that the skill that represents your biggest obstacle right now? Or is it lead conversion? So we call this interchangeably lead conversion or client conversion. I don't really care what we call it. I tend to call it client conversion because you're converting a potential client into an actual client. So yeah, that's a good place to start. How do we define this term, client conversion or lead conversion? It's the skill, again, of being able to identify whether someone is a good fit for working with you and your set of skills and services. In other words, it's aligning whether an individual, a potential client, is actually a good fit as it relates to your I'm going to call it your ideal client profile, or just your client profile. So lead conversion is the skill of being able to take someone who in fact fits your ideal client profile and converting them into from a potential client into an actual paying client. So if you are skilled at this, in other words, out of every 10 meetings where you sit down to explore doing business, out of every 10, if you convert more than one, well, then your client conversion is in pretty good shape. If you convert 3 to 1, if you have 10 lead conversion meetings where you're sitting down with a potential client to explore doing business and you convert 3 of them, you're in the top 10%. So you don't need to bat 1,000 in this business. I can tell you that my numbers are out of every 10 lead conversion meetings, I converted 7.8. So if you go back to when I was accepting clients and you looked back at all the lead conversion meetings that I conducted, we called that in our system the initial client interview. So I would conduct an initial client interview. That's nothing more than sitting down initially with a potential client to explore whether it's a good fit for us to do business or not. My actual numbers are 7.8 to 1. That means out of every 7.8 of those meetings, I would yield one ideal client. So if you're yielding one out of, let's say, every 10 lead conversion meetings or initial client interviews, then you're solid. This is probably not your biggest problem, but it might be. If you're converting less than one client out of every 10 initial client interviews, well, that may be your number one obstacle right now. And we need to work on that together in 2024. Let's get that fixed. Then that leaves us with client service. How do I define client service? Very, very easy. My definition of client service is that you are consistently exceeding your client's expectations. Now, how's that measured? Easy. There's only one measure. And advisors try to argue with me on this all the time, but I challenge you to come up with any better or more direct method of measuring client satisfaction. And that is by way of referrals. So we measure client service in this program. We know that you are implementing our methodology effectively when your client referrals increases, and more on that when we get into it. So let's start with these things one at a time. Now I'm gonna go over and show you something that I've actually never displayed this way, but I'm gonna go through this with you in a little bit different way today. I've created an infographic that covers the three skills that we just talked about, and we're gonna be going through it step by step. But the way this infographic is set up is I've kind of broken it out to the three skills that we described. So we have client acquisition. So I'm going to go through the four essential elements of client acquisition. And we're going to go through these step by step, but I want to tell you that that you can implement this methodology that I created for client acquisition in 12 weeks. Now, you may have your own method of acquiring clients. That's perfectly fine. We work with advisors all the time who are effective at client acquisition. So if your question is, Mark, to work with you, do I have to implement your method of client acquisition? No, you don't have to implement any of this. But what I'm saying is, if you have an obstacle that represents something that's standing between you and your goal, and if that obstacle is client acquisition, well, let's just admit it. Let's just say that whatever you're doing isn't working for you right now. And if you want to work with me to figure out how I acquired clients. I acquired clients in a way that is very different than most other advisors utilize. So I'm going to go through it with you, take it apart. The point I'm getting at is if client acquisition is your problem or lead generation, then you can fix this problem in 12 weeks. And that's why I put this infographic together, is I wanted you to realize that this is not going to take you an entire year to get this fixed. It should take you 12 weeks. Now you have to really resolve to do the work. So you're going to have to work very hard. Everything I teach is easy. It's really easy to understand and easy to implement. It's just not effortless. It requires a lot of work. And but I look at that as the great differentiator in our industry. You know, if it was easy, then every financial advisor would be successful, and they're not. So look at it this way. Your radical differentiator in this industry is your work ethic. If you're willing to put in the hours and make the effort to deliver on all the promises that we make to clients, and to put in the hours required to do proper client acquisition, you can exceed my numbers. You know, I'm looking for an advisor to do better than I did. Let's put it that way, because there's nothing special about me. But anyway, I will go through this in detail. That's client acquisition. And I've come up with an infographic that I have never shared before, but we're going to go through it today. There are 8 essential elements to an effective client conversion process. So whether we call it lead conversion or client conversion, it's the exact same thing. It's converting a potential client into an actual paying client. And for me, that means discovering when I'm chatting with someone, whether they are or are not aligned with my client profile. So we'll go through this. But I just want you to know that there is a really, really effective way to convert clients into actual paying clients. And if this is your biggest obstacle, we're going to go step by step through it today. And then finally, and we go through this all the time. As a matter of fact, this is the flagship part of our program, this client service skill. And it is a skill. It's your skill at being able to consistently exceed your client's expectations. And there's literally just 4 tactical steps to exceeding client expectations. And we're going to go through those today. So, let's start with client acquisition. All right. We talked about it a minute ago. There's 4 elements to client acquisition. There's 8 essential elements to client conversion. And then there's 4 steps or tactical steps to exceeding client expectations. So we'll take them one at a time. Client acquisition, also called lead generation, there are these 4 skills that you have to master. Now, I'm going to describe them in a way that's generic. And so this is my opinion, but I think it holds true. And that is, these are the 4 skills that I mastered, and I mastered a particular way to acquire clients. And if this is not your biggest obstacle, you can do whatever you want to do. The outcome is what matters. Are you filling your calendar with ample numbers of people who want to sit down and explore doing business with you? So if you've got this one covered, you don't have to work with me on the way I did it. But I'm saying, if you're struggling with this, these are the 4 skills that you need to think about. And it's probably one or more of these 4 skills that needs work with you. So let's take them one at a time. And like I say, I don't know about other methods of acquiring clients other than the way I did it. But if you're toying with the idea of trying something new, something that worked for me, which is the client acquisition method that I created, then I'm happy to share I'm happy to share everything that I did with you. I will hold back nothing. I will tell you everything that worked for me, and we'll see if it worked for you, works for you. But I have worked with enough advisors to know that if you put your nose to the grindstone and really dedicate a minimum of 20 hours a week, which is what I believe, this is what I believe are the hours required to be successful in our industry. It's a minimum of 20 hours a week of client acquisition activity. And I'll break down for you what the elements of that are, but it's basically half the work week. I mean, if you think that you're going to join this program or any program and find some sort of a shortcut, some magic process where you acquire clients just by, you know, sitting in your office and maybe doing some online strategy like blogging or something or whatever the case, I have never found it. I have worked tirelessly with a lot of online gurus who claim to train financial advisors in the easy way to acquire clients. And I have been looking for 12 years for such a methodology that would be the shortcut, the easy way, the way to sit back in your office chair and just acquire clients through some magic process. I've never found it. I've interviewed dozens of internet gurus who claim to be able, who claim to have advisors who are doing this. Not a single one can produce an advisor that's consistently acquiring ideal clients through some sort of an online strategy. And I know there's other methods of acquiring clients like seminars and doing dinners and different ways of doing it. But I didn't use any of those methods. I'm an introvert. I had call reluctance. This goes back to the beginning of my career when I was in my 20s. If I was going to succeed in this business, I had to come up with some totally different way of acquiring clients that was not effortless, because I was always willing to work harder than the next person, but it needed to be easy. I did not want to use any client acquisition method that was either manipulative, and I considered most of the sales training that I received in the financial services industry to be either manipulative or highly manipulative. So, but it certainly, whether it was manipulative or not, in actuality, it was not for me. I was not going to use sales tactics or appointment setting techniques or closing tactics or any of that sort of thing. So that whole always be closing ABC, that was not for me. So even though I came up with a completely different methodology, these four steps that we're going to go through still apply no matter what method you're using. But it starts with, and it just takes 12 weeks if you put in 20 hours a week. So that's where I was going with all that. You can turn over a new leaf in 2024. You can acquire clients at a pace that will get you to your goals. Even if you've never done it the way that I've done it, the way that I did it, even if you're starting from scratch, you can get up, you can ramp up to speed in 12 weeks if you really put your mind to it. Okay. So let's take step number one. See if I can turn on the annotation here. I've never actually used this. Let's see, spotlight. Okay. So maybe you can follow my cursor here. I'm going to start with skill number one. Do you have enough people to talk to? So that really is the number one starting point with this project. Do you have enough people to talk to? Now, in my case, I was hired by a Wall Street-based company. I was moved down to a different city from where I went to college. So I grew up in one big city of over a million people. I went to college in a small town, and I was hired by a Wall Street-based company to move back to another big city over a million people, but I had never lived in that city before. So the point I'm getting at is, even if you're like me and you don't have many people that you know, in my case, almost zero. I think I knew 12 or 13 people when I moved to that town. So how do you get up to speed and have enough people to talk to in a world where maybe you don't know many people currently. And I will tell you, if you've been in your community for a long time, if where you're operating is a place where you've, you know, lived for, let's say, 10 or 15 years, you know, ample people, and I can show you how to take what you've got and leverage it up very, very quickly. And when I say quickly, I mean in a week. All right. But let's say you don't have many people, you don't have ample people to talk to. Maybe you're like me, you've got zero people to talk to. Well, you can ramp up to having enough people or ample people to make this work in 2 weeks. So it really is a skill of getting the people that you know to introduce you to the people that you don't know. And granted, for an introvert like me, you had to start somewhere. So I guess, thankfully, I did know 12 or 13 people, but I got that small number of people to begin introducing me to new people. And so that's your skill number one. Can you get the people you know to introduce you to the people that you don't know so that you always have enough people to talk to week after week after week? All right. So what's next? Well, once you've got enough people to talk to, you have to have enough weekly momentum. So for me, my goal, and this is because I was a full-time professional financial advisor putting in half my time towards client acquisition. Why? Because I didn't want to starve. So I knew that I needed to put in most of my hours at the beginning towards client acquisition. So I committed from day one that I was going to invest at least 20 hours a week acquiring clients with activities designed to acquire clients. And that means face-to-face or on the phone or on a Zoom meeting with people that are non-clients. So that was my commitment. I'm going to spend 20 hours a week at a minimum face-to-face or on the phone with non-clients because my clients are not in the office. I need to get out of the office and rub elbows with people that are not clients because my next client is out there, not in here. So what did I do with the other 20 hours? Well, probably wasted a lot of time. My company was taking me through sales training that I never used. Back in those days, Wall Street-based companies, you would spend at least 10 hours a week on what they called product knowledge, which was in essence, I thought they were going to teach me how, like wealth management, like how do you coordinate the finances of an affluent family? No, product knowledge was all about, you know, here are some financial services and financial products that we sell or would like you to sell. And here's how you sell them. So, you know, here's feature, benefit, whatever. So I spent, you know, let's call it 10, 20 hours a week on product knowledge and learning the business. And I spent the other 20 hours a week client acquisition, going out and finding new clients. Now, that 20 hours a week, how did that shift over time? It stayed the same. It did shift away from product knowledge and learning the business into actual client service. But I can tell you, even when I had 100 ideal clients, I still only invested 20 hours a week on client service. So that's what I'm trying to get across to you. The functional way to view this is you're spending about half your week on client service and leading your team, and you're spending the other half of your week acquiring clients. And what happens over time? Well, once you've acquired all the clients and you're making more money than you can spend, well, all that client acquisition time goes away, and that's a gift of time. So you don't need to invest that 20 hours a week on anything after you've got your success level up to where you want it to be with adequate amount of recurring revenue. And that's exactly what I did. Now, when you get to that point, some of you might be saying, well, that's weird. Why would you kick back at any point? Well, that's because you have an enterprise mentality. You have it in your mind to just keep growing this thing, and that's fine. I ultimately came around to that point of view, but just keep in mind, in my situation, I had built a really horrible business model. I was ready to leave the business. So for a while there, let's call it like 5 years, once I built my business up and I was, you know, I had 100 ideal clients paying me, let's call it $45,000 per year minimum. Well, at that point, I just wanted to kick back and enjoy my new daughter because we had just had a baby. And so I moved back. I took that 20 hours a week and I just cut my hours. So I worked 3 days a week for years and years and years. And that's what I'm saying. Half your week goes to client acquisition. Once you've acquired all your clients, you've got a choice. You can keep growing your business or you can take those hours and just kick back. But it'll take you, figure 20 hours a week to serve clients. So if I can serve 100 ideal clients in 20 hours a week, I think any of you can fully serve and exceed your clients' expectations in 20 hours a week. So, and most of the advisors that I work with these days, I'm saying over the last 15 years, very few advisors do I come across anymore that want as many ideal clients as I did. So the question is, how many ideal clients do you want to manage yourself personally? And for me, that was 100. Most of the advisors that I work with want somewhere between 50 and, you know, maybe 35, 50, somewhere in there. I don't care if it's 100, because if I can exceed the expectations of 100 ideal clients in 20 hours a week, you can exceed the expectations of up to 100, whatever your goal is, you know, figure it'll take 20 hours a week. So back to the momentum here, what's the adequate momentum to achieve your goals? Well, 20 hours a week, face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients. If you're not, when you track your week, like think about the last 7 days, if over the last 7 days you have not been face to face or on the phone, meaning Zoom, if you've not been 20 hours interacting with potential clients or non-clients, then you don't have enough momentum, in my opinion. So if you have 1 minute less than 20 hours a week on client acquisition, you know, you may be growing, but I don't think growing fast enough to meet your goals. You tell me, if you're spending less than 20 hours a week and you're exceeding your growth goals, let me know. I'd like to profile you. I'd like to profile you for the other advisors in this program. So that's momentum. Do you have adequate momentum? Now, if it takes 2 weeks to get your list of names up to an ample number that you can have 20 hours a week face-to-face with potential clients or non-clients, how much additional time does it take to ramp up to that momentum? None. I'm telling you that within 2 weeks, if you start from scratch, you can go from not interacting with enough people to having ample names and meeting with ample number of people in 2 weeks or less. Let's put it that way. So you can ramp this up very quick. Now, what's the next thing? Well, relationships. I call them marketing 101 relationships. All right. This is where my methodology differs from almost every other financial advisor out there. As a matter of fact, in all my 40 some odd years in this business, I've only encountered one financial advisor that acquired clients the way that I did. And I've talked about him before to you. His name's Norm Levine. He has passed away. And when I met him, he was in his 80s. But let's just put it this way. I did invent a way of acquiring clients using no sales tactics, no closing techniques, nothing like that. I just, in essence, made friends with people. I deepened relationships with people on a personal basis. And I did it in a way that established what I'm calling this step number three, which is I established marketing 101 relationships. Now, what does marketing 101 relationship stand for? No matter what client acquisition method that you're using? Well, it goes something like this. You've got a certain number of potential ideal clients that live in your community. All right. So let me ask you this. Do you know how many there are? How many potential ideal clients are there in you know, whatever is a manageable radius to your office. It depends on how much of an urban environment that you live in. I lived in a semi-rural environment. So my way of measuring this was a 50-mile radius. So in my world, you know, I was looking for having ample numbers of people that met my ideal client profile because I wasn't trying to acquire all of them. I just needed 100 of them. So I made sure that there were enough thousands of clients. And in my case, I made sure there were over 1,000. There were in actuality almost, let's say tens of thousands, because it has changed in that area since I did this. But at the time, there were something like 50,000 people who met my ideal client profile in a 50-mile radius. Now, if you live in New York City or Chicago or LA or some really dense urban area, you might want to say, and ultimately I moved, I lived in La Jolla, California for 15 years. If I had been building my, and it was after I built my business, but if I had been building my business and officing in La Jolla, you know, you could throw a rock and hit 1,000 people that met my ideal client profile. So in a dense urban area, and especially in an affluent area, you might say, you know, do I have ample number of potential ideal clients in, let's say, a 5-mile radius? So whether it's 5 miles or 50 miles, let me tell you what stuns me. The advisors that we work with almost never know how many there are. So I'm not saying for you to stop what you're doing and go find it out, but you need to go get that information. And there's lots of resources for you to get the information that I'm talking about. So I'm asking you point blank, in your area, there are blank numbers of potential ideal clients. And if you cannot fill in that blank, in other words, you don't know, well, you need to go out and find out. You need to make sure that where you are operating, there are at least 1,000 potential ideal clients in some reasonable radius from your office. And if not, well, a very famous business coach named Jim Rohn, he used to say, well, you're not a tree. You're not planted there. You can move. You know, that's the great thing about people. We can move. And all I'm saying is, how many potential ideal clients are there in your area? The idea of establishing marketing 101 relationships is you want to make sure that at least 80% of the market knows three things. They know your name, they know what you do, and they know what makes you better than your competition at what you do. So you tell me honestly, when it comes to this third skill, do you feel like an adequate percentage of the people who meet your ideal client profile in your area, do you feel like an adequate percentage of them know your name, know what you do, and know what makes you better than others at what you do? Okay. If not, then you don't have a marketing 101 relationship with enough people. And so that's what I'm saying. That's the difference between sales and marketing. Marketing is the skill at making sure ample number of people know your name, know what you do, and know what makes you better than others at what you do. That's marketing. Sales is what we're calling client conversion. It's that moment when you're sitting in front of someone who meets the profile. It's your skill at being able to take someone who is a good fit for your profile and converting them into and making sure that they become actual paying clients. So what we're calling client conversion, you could think of as sales. I never thought of it that way, but that is the difference between marketing and sales. And I'm saying you have to establish enough relationships with people who know your name, know what you do, and know what makes you better so that when you're not around, they can describe you to someone else. So this whole thing that I put together on getting very skilled at getting people I know to introduce me to people that I don't know, I can tell you hands down, guaranteed, that every single friend of mine, anybody that I had a relationship with, knew my name, knew what I do, and knows and knew what I do better than others in a way that they could articulate it to someone else. And so this is what I'm calling, you know, that you have mastered establishing marketing one-on-one relationships. There are enough people floating around who can describe what you do and describe what makes you better than others at what you do, so that you've got an army of marketers out there. I just call them my friends, but I made sure that everyone that I know was able to describe me and describe what made me better. All right. So is that a skill that you need to work on? And then finally, never missing an opportunity. So this is easy to explain, but hard to give examples. But when you're sitting down with an individual, let's say you're just catching up with a friend. Let's say you haven't talked to a friend in a long time, so you schedule time to catch up, and you're looking forward to it. Both of you are, and you sit down, and it's been a while, so now you're starting to catch up with each other. Can you guarantee me that if that individual shares a financial issue with you, that you will not miss the opportunity? Let me say it a different way. How confident are you that when you're in casual conversation with anyone, that if they bring up a significant financial issue, either in their life or in the life of someone that they care about, that you have the skill to stop the conversation, explore what, and clarify what they're talking about in a way that makes it clear to them, that makes it clear that this is something that is in your wheelhouse, that this is something that you have a process for, and that you this is what you do for a living. So my four skills tied together are: you've got ample number of people to talk to, you're spending about a minimum of 20 hours a week face-to-face with non-clients on a weekly basis. You have a solid marketing methodology. In my case, it's establishing marketing 101 relationships where everyone I know can describe me well to others. And number four, I never miss an opportunity. So if someone says in casual conversation, "Oh, you know, my wife and I, we don't see eye to eye on finances at all," you know, I recognize that as the potential opportunity that it is. And I say, "That sounds like a significant financial issue. Have I got that right? And, you know, how high a priority is it for you to resolve that issue?" And, "Oh, it's a high priority. Well, you know, I'm happy to schedule a meeting with you and resolve that if that's something that you'd like to do." So I have plenty of people to talk to. I have enough momentum in that I'm meeting with enough of them on a weekly basis. I know how to work with my friends in a way that they have no idea that I'm doing it, but they are able, after a period, short period of time, at being able to describe me to others without me training them. I just do it through telling stories, and then I never miss an opportunity. So that's client acquisition in a nutshell. And I'm telling you, it's regardless of what methodology you're using. But if you think about this and pick it apart the way I did on these four skills, if any of these four skills are weak for you, well, then I would go out on a limb and say your client acquisition is probably not where you want it to be, or you're not happy with your own client acquisition. So the next skill is client conversion. So I'm going to go through the infographic that I shared with you, because there are eight essential elements of an effective client conversion process. So this is the infographic in full. This is client acquisition, client conversion, client service. So let's go in and look at client conversion. So now you're, just to refresh your memory, this is the skill at being able to take a potential client and convert them into an actual paying client. So you've already generated the lead. You've got plenty of them. They're sitting down with you on an initial client interview. So what are the essential elements of that meeting? That meeting that I call the initial client interview. Well, I don't know what your process is for client conversion at the point of contact with a potential client. But for me, before I tightened this up, it was brutal. It was a 3-meeting process. So if I came across a potential client and thought they might be a good fit to working together with me, it took 3 meetings to get through that process. Now, what I'm saying is an effective client conversion process boils it down to a single meeting. So the question is, can you take a potential client and convert them into an actual paying client in a single meeting? If not, then let's talk. You need to work on this, because anything more than a single meeting is slightly dysfunctional. So we could go through that on a later date more if you like, but get it down to 1 meeting. That's what works best. It works best for the clients. Clients really appreciate that when you can get through your process quickly to determine whether they do or do not meet your profile to work together or not. Secondly, this initial client interview, an essential element is it needs to be a compelling experience. So that's my question for you in your current initial client interview. That's where you're sitting down with a potential client just who's deciding whether they want to do business with you or not. Is it a compelling experience? Do they walk out of that meeting thinking, wow, whether we do business together or not, that was worth my time? In other words, there was some work product that came out of this initial client interview that's valuable to the client. And that's really the next step, having a valuable outcome. Now, I'm going to pause there for a minute and just kind of reveal the client conversion process that I settled on was my coach, Bill Bachrach, had created something called the financial roadmap. So that's my client conversion process. It's the financial roadmap. So my initial client interview with every potential client is the same. It's to complete this thing that Bill Bachrach created and trains on how to deliver the experience. But it's this thing, this meeting called a financial roadmap experience. So the reason I'm revealing that is because I can tell you with absolute authority that this financial roadmap is valuable. When I sit down with a potential client, whether they meet the ideal client profile for me or not, I almost never know in advance whether they do or do not meet my profile. That comes here in a minute in the process. But I do know this, that when they sit down and I deliver this initial client interview, that when they walk out the door, it will have knocked their socks off. So that's all I'm suggesting is that, and you can use whatever client conversion process that you want. I'm just saying that if this is an area that you're struggling in, get with me and I'll give you some ideas on how to get started with the financial roadmap, which is what I utilized. But the point I wanted to make here is it should be valuable whether or not you work together. And number two, I recommend that you charge for this initial client interview. If it's valuable, then why aren't you charging for it? It always bothered me that in our industry, the initial client interview was usually at no charge. And I thought, well, either it's a sales process and they know it and you know it, and therefore that's why it's free, or it's not professional. Even when I was in my 20s, it seemed to me that if we're adding value, even in that initial meeting, and we don't charge for it, well, maybe it's just my perspective. I think that's unprofessional. So if it's valuable, I think you should charge for something. So what did I charge? I charged $500. I charged $500 for the initial client interview, starting back at the turn of the century. So in January of 2000, I set the fee at $500. It was actually mid-year, so I wasn't charging at the beginning. But by summertime of the year 2000, I was charging $500, and I've never changed it. So if you want to keep using $500, I think the point is it costs something to come in and provide this value. So the question is, do you provide any value in your initial client interview or in your client conversion process? So what are some of the other essential elements? Well, no ulterior motives. As I said, I would book an initial client interview, in my case, the financial roadmap experience, with anyone for $500. And I did not go into the meeting with any ulterior motives. So I talk to advisors all the time about client acquisition. And I can't tell you how often an advisor might say something like this: "Oh, I've got an appointment on Friday with a couple, and they own a big business, and I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them on Friday." And I'm like, "Oh, this whole everything about that bothers me. Like, trying to think that they are a potential ideal client in advance of the initial meeting, that is not something that I think is good or healthy. I also don't like the idea of I'm going to get them." So the idea that there's any ulterior business motive at the initial client interview, I think, is not the best. It's when you go into that initial client interview with a sense of curiosity. You're trying to get to know this couple or this individual that you're sitting across the table from, and you're trying to figure out, what are they actually seeking in an advisory relationship with someone like me? And then I've got my client profile. And so the meeting really should be about fit. Like, I have no ulterior motives, and I don't use any sales tactics. So this is another essential element: is I listen to recordings of initial client interviews from advisors in our program. And they start the meeting talking about sports and talking about personal stuff. And so that, to me, sounds like sales tactics. And Bill Bachrach trained me to do this. Like, when you start your initial client interview, get straight to business. You're lucky if you have an hour or 90 minutes with a potential client. And what will be a more effective process is, don't sit there and just shoot the breeze with them in an attempt to get to know them personally. That really doesn't matter in the long run. What matters is, did you add value? Did they walk out of the meeting having gained something from the experience of sitting down with you? So no ulterior motives, no rapport building. And I kind of glossed over this as well. So I think there should be some prerequisites. In other words, screening a bit before you sit down with them. So no, I don't have any ulterior motives. I'm not trying to figure out whether they do or do not fit any kind of a profile before I sit down with them for the initial client interview. However, I do have some ground rules, and that's what I'm getting at. You should have ground rules. I recommend that your ground rules should be these: if they're married, I need you both present. So that's ground rule number one. I will not meet with one of the spouses if they're a married couple. So the ground rules are to meeting with me is, both are there, you bring your financial documents, and the meeting's got to be in my office. I'm not going to sit down at their kitchen table and go through all this stuff. So they come to me, both spouses are present, and they bring all their financial documents. Those are the ground rules that I recommend. So that's an essential element, is to make sure that you have some method of screening, not so much of their profile, but more of how serious they are. And if they are serious, then yeah, they're happy to come to you. That's professional. They're happy to both be there, and they're happy to bring all their financial documents. Why? Well, because they're meeting with a financial advisor. What else would you talk about other than going through their financial documents? So another essential element, I'll just kind of fly through this, but you have the ground rules. Let's say they show up. the meeting has to be relevant for both spouses. I've listened to recordings of some initial client interviews of advisors who are trying to do an effective client conversion process. And I can't tell you how many recordings where I hear where it becomes pretty apparent early on in the initial client interview that one of the two spouses is stronger on the financial things in their life. And so what I'm getting at is you have no idea how many advisors, once they figure out which of the two spouses is kind of more strong on the money side, that then they make the entire meeting about that spouse. So don't do that. Make sure that your client conversion process equally involves both spouses. You need to make the process for it to be effective that if they're both going to be there, which they should, then when they both leave the meeting, they're talking in the car on the way home and saying how glad each of them were that they didn't miss this meeting, that they both feel that they had input into the meeting and that their presence was required. You don't want them to talk on the way home where one of the spouses says, you know, hey, you know, I didn't really need to be there. It was totally unnecessary for my presence. I don't know why I was asked to be there because I didn't do much talking. You do not want that. So one of the essential elements is that the meeting and the process needs to be relevant to both spouses. And then we're at crunch time. So what's the meeting all about? Well, it's a value. So it's about whatever you promised. In my case, the value is that they walk out with a completed financial roadmap. Okay, so there's the value. But what am I doing when it comes to client conversion? Well, along the way, I am observing them and I'm going in my mind through my own client profile and to see whether or not they're a good fit. And in my process, which is Bill Bachrach's process, I was trained at a point in the meeting to say, you know, we've come to the point in our time together where you get to decide whether you want to hire me or not. And that's where it's crunch time, whether you determine whether they do or do not fit your profile. Now, the question is, do they fit your profile? Because if they meet your ideal client profile, it's going to be one outcome. If they meet your ideal client profile, well, then of course, the outcome is you invite them into your ideal client profile, into your ideal client community, right? So that's outcome number one. But what if they do not meet your ideal client profile? Well, if you accept non-ideal clients, then you need to establish whether they meet your non-ideal client profile. So yes, if you accept clients who do not meet your ideal client profile, then you need to create some minimum standards for the client that you are willing to accept. Now, what we recommend is if they don't meet your ideal client profile, but they can afford a significant amount of money to pay you just to complete the overarching plan for them, then we recommend do that. And we teach in this program, and you'll learn about it in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, we teach a methodology of how to create what we call a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy that you could be charging $20,000 all day long. The question is, do they have $20,000 sitting around in some account to where that would not hurt their financial affairs, it would actually benefit them if they had a plan in place. So that's what you look for in our model. They either meet your ideal client profile, in which case you invite them into the ideal client community. What do you charge them? Well, we could talk about that later. We have a whole module where you think about structuring your compensation, but let's just say if I'm talking about the advisors that we work with, I've got this program that is our flagship program called the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. That is the software that I created for Bill Bachrach to deliver on truly comprehensive financial services. And I know those advisors a little bit better than I know the advisors in our other programs. But I can tell you, in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, the range of fees is between $25,000 and more than $75,000 per year. So, you know, we don't have a single person that I'm aware of, an advisor charging less than $25,000. And we do have advisors that charge more than $75,000 for the same level of service. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But if they meet your ideal client profile, you invite them into the ideal client community. If they don't meet your ideal client profile, you can either refer them elsewhere, or we recommend that you utilize your same team you use for your ideal clients and complete their comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy if they can afford $20,000. Because why? Because they need a plan. You know, what are the odds that they'll achieve their financial objectives without a plan? Very low. So if they can afford you, then I would say don't ever charge less than $10,000, but you could charge $20,000 per overarching plan all day long. And so that's what I recommend that you do with non-ideal clients: create their strategy, their overarching strategy, and then have no future obligations to them. And that's just what we recommend. So, or if they fit neither of these, like they can't afford a plan and they don't meet your profile, well, then just refer them elsewhere. So that is an effective client conversion process. This is the essential elements, in my opinion, to an effective client conversion process. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, that's client conversion. Now, I'm going to fly through client service very quickly because this is what we talk about most frequently: how to deliver on your promises that you make to a client in the initial interview, and how do you exceed their expectations consistently over time. Well, let me just kind of highlight some things that are different about the client service methodology that I'm recommending. All right. First of all, in our industry, most advisors are one-man bands. If you go to a financial advisor who is, in their mind, serving affluent client families, in other words, a retail advisor serving individuals and families, the vast majority are what you and I would describe as a one-man band. They are a practice that they may say they have a team, but it's really referring people out to trusted professionals, not really working with the team. So the most common business model in our industry is a talented advisor who creates a service for their clients, usually around investment management, but it could be on any of the areas of service and around finance. It could be a financial planning person, professional. It could be a tax professional. It could be a stockbroker or an investment planner, something along that line. It could be an insurance agent. So I'm being a little bit vague on what the specialization is, but in the end, most advisors in our industry that your clients or potential clients are aware of, that they would consider if they didn't work with you, they would work with these others. Most of them are one-man bands. So that's the model that is in the client's mind. If I hire a financial advisor, I'm hiring this individual, talented professional, to help me with my finances. So what's the difference in what we recommend on delivering on the promise of what we are describing as truly comprehensive financial services? Well, it's quite different. So much so that we trademarked the term. And if you're working with us, you are licensed to use the term truly comprehensive financial services. So what is it? What makes it different? Well, rather than being a one-man band, in our model, you are an orchestrator of a team. Rather than a one-man band, you have something more like a five-man band, where or woman band, a five person band. So you're the orchestrator. You're the most trusted advisor in your ideal clients' lives. Okay. So they've got a lot of people in their life. They have their accountant, they've got their estate planning attorney, and you know, different clients have different numbers of advisors that are currently working with them, and some have none, but most have somebody that they're working with. Usually it's a tax accountant, but whatever. They're going from what they've been doing to what you are offering. And so are you requiring them to stop working with their accountant or their estate planning lawyer or their insurance agents and all that sort of thing? No. In our model, the client keeps working with their team. We are hired to fill the gaps. What are the gaps? Well, the first one almost always is there's a lack of a plan. So you've got a team. You have someone covering the area of tax. Let's say you have a tax accountant on your team. You have a money manager on your team. You have a financial planner on your team, an estate planning expert in the legal area on your team, and an expert in risk and safety. We just somebody that can make sure that all the insurance that should exist does exist for this client so that they've got a backup safety plan for their strategy. All right. So this is your team. So what does your team do? Well, your team creates the plan that doesn't exist. And then your team reaches out and coordinates with the client's team. Because the other thing that is almost never happening is the client's advisors are never talking to each other. So here you come in, you create the plan, you provide the oversight and the strategy, and you pull their team together so they're talking and coordinating together, usually for the first time ever. So that makes our structure different. What are you doing? Well, you're the orchestrator. You're up on the dais conducting the orchestra. You should not be any of the players. Like you may be used to creating financial plans, and I'm not saying give it up immediately, but I'm saying where you're heading with this model is at some point down the road, you are purely orchestrating the team. That if you used to do financial plans, now you've got a certified financial planner doing the plans. You've got a CPA doing the tax strategy. You've got a lawyer, an estate planning lawyer doing the estate strategy. You've got a money manager. You've got a risk and safety expert providing oversight and guiding the strategy for the risk and safety part of the plan. So that's your role ultimately is purely orchestration, not doing any of the work. As a matter of fact, in our model, ultimately, you are delegating 100% of client service to those five, we call them subject matter experts, tax, money management, insurance, estate planning, and whatever I'm leaving out. Financial planning, I think. So financial planning, money management, insurance, tax, and estate planning. So, and then how do you deliver it? Well, we have a process called the three meeting process. So you deliver the experience of these five skilled specialists focusing on each of their areas through what we call the three meeting process. And how does it split up? Well, the first three meetings, which take about 104 days to complete, well, this just buys 104 days, a little bit more than a quarter of a year, for your team to create the initial comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. Okay. In other words, the plan. So you give your team time to coordinate with the client's other team members, but in essence, your team creates the strategy, the overarching plan. And then after that, you release the client into what we call the three meeting process. So you're meeting with the client once every 4 months forever. So that's the mechanics of it. You've got a team of five. You've got a three-meeting process. What's the outcome to the client? What makes you different? Well, we've got three bottom-line client outcomes that, believe it or not, I guarantee to the client. Okay, so I literally make this guarantee. Guarantee is a funny word. It's seldom used in our industry, But that's when you think like a salesperson focused on investment management. That's all about, you're thinking about your licensing. This is not that. This is the relationship. This is what you're guaranteeing is the outcome of truly comprehensive financial services, which is these five subject matter experts literally coordinating all the financial affairs in a individual or a family's life. All right. So what are the outcomes that can be guaranteed? Well, I guarantee that you'll be on track to your goals. How can I guarantee that? Because we know in advance you're going to drift off track at some point. I'm just guaranteeing that I will be there with recommendations to get you back on track so that you're either on track or I will be present with the recommendations required to get you back on track quickly. All right. Number two, we're proactive. So how do I keep you on track? Because I'm not reacting to you, Mr. and Mrs. Client. I am proactive. I'm ahead of the issues. That's called planning. I'm doing planning. And so we're going to be so proactive that you're never going to miss a financial opportunity from a planning standpoint, and you're not going to have surprises. So you can, if you've ever had a tax surprise or something like that, Mr. and Mrs. Client, we are so proactive that we will guarantee that you're going to be ahead of issues, not behind them. And then third, guarantee is, I guarantee that you will make better decisions in not just investments. See, this is the problem with a lot of advisors. They focus on one of the five areas. Say, in, you know, we're going to be superior when it comes to investment. Forget that. No, you're going to make, Mr. and Mrs. Client, you're going to make better decisions in all areas of finance. All these areas that I described, financial planning, tax, insurance, estate planning, and money management. So in all the areas, you're going to look back on the year, every year at our annual review and say, yeah, I made better decisions than I ever did on my own. So what is the process? So I talked about the tactical steps in that big infographic at the beginning. I said, there's four tactical steps to getting all of this implemented. Well, there is. It's four steps to the top. How do you deliver on the promise to a client around everything that I just promised? In other words, how do you exceed their expectations? Number one, you build a team. So you get your five subject matter experts in place. We have a process to get that in place in 30 days or less. Do you have your team in place? If you've been in this program for more than 30 days and you don't have all five subject matter experts in place, I'd fix that. That's unnecessary. And you should be reaching out to us and saying, here's my obstacle. Here's what's slowing me down. Here's why I don't have my team in place. Mark, can you help me? And then we're off to the races. We can start helping you resolve that problem. But everything starts with building an effective team, five areas other than you. All right. So let's call them interim subject matter experts, because maybe you're not 100% sure how you offload some of this. Well, that's fine. It doesn't prevent you from lining up five, let's call them interim subject matter experts, so that you can work that out. But 30 days from now, and I'm saying certainly by January 31st, you need to have all five subject matter experts in place on an interim basis. Second step is comprehensive. We call this the 10 client deliverables. We have modules on this in our program. If you have not come across this, we train you in what I created, which is truly comprehensive financial services. Just think of those five areas that I've been talking about. What if each of those areas, in essence, had deliverables associated with them? Well, when I sat down and mapped them out, I came up with 10 client deliverables. And what we train in this program is how to show the 10 client deliverables to your interim team and have them create adequate number of like checklist items that in the course of a 12-month period, make sure nothing falls through the cracks on any client. So we call this truly comprehensive financial services, which means you're delivering on the 10 client deliverables annually for every ideal client. And then extraordinary, delivering an extraordinary experience. How do we do this? We place two simple expectations on each of the five subject matter experts. This is why you need outside people, because it's this extraordinary part that advisors struggle with. So what if I were to tell you that I'm not going to do it today because it's just we don't have the time, but what if I were to tell you that we'll train you to explain and articulate two simple expectations to each of your five subject matter experts who are going to serve you on an interim basis so that they are delivering just two things to every one of your ideal clients annually. And because they are capable of and promise and commit to delivering on these just two simple things, that you will be delivering not just any old experience, but an extraordinary client experience. You'll be delivering an experience with these two expectations being delivered by your five subject matter experts. It'll knock your client's socks off. They will tell you themselves that they have never had a relationship with any other financial advisor that was this thorough, that this was this extraordinary. So creating an extraordinary experience is the next step. And then finally, Advisor Pact. It's this entire program. We call this the Advisor Pact program. Why? Because at the initial client interview, you're going to make what we call the Advisor Pact pledge. You're going to make a pledge to each and every client. And the pledge is also called a pact. Why do we call it a pact? Because pact is an acronym, and we train the acronym. So the fourth step is to actually deliver on Advisor Pact. So building the team in 30 days or less, being able to create a process to deliver on the 10 client deliverables on an annual basis, that's a step. Having your subject matter experts in all five areas deliver on the two expectations that we'll train you in this program, that's a step. And then finally, delivering on this Advisor Pact pledge. So the PACT is an acronym. It stands for Protection, Attention, Coordination, and Transparency. So you're delivering on those four things. How did I come up with those four? Well, this is where I've got lots of data to share with you. We've got the data that says that not only are these the four client expectations at a high-end affluent family would expect, but it's so much of an expectation that it's difficult for potential clients to find any advisor that will deliver on all four of these expectations. So they may be able to find in your community some advisor that might deliver on one or maybe even two of these advisor packed expectations, but you're going to deliver on all four. And by delivering on all four, while you've got a team and you're delivering the 10 client deliverables and you're delivering on an extraordinary experience through the two subject matter expert expectations that you're going to hold them accountable to, and then you're going to make sure that the client is well protected and that the team is paying attention so that nothing falls through the cracks and that the team is well coordinated and there's full transparency. The client knows exactly what they're paying for all of this. When you package all these four tactical steps together, you're going to be the only game in town. Now, you can't skip any step. We have advisors trying to do this all the time. Oh, I'll build a team, but I'm not going to build it the way you say, Mark. I've got my own way of doing it. So advisors try shortcuts all the time. I'm telling you, you cannot skip any of these steps. But if you do what I'm recommending and you follow our program and you do all four steps, you will be the only game in town. Think how it would be when you look at a potential client who's trying to tell you that, I'm shopping around interviewing several advisors like you. And so I'd like to meet with you today, see what you got. And then I'm going to interview several other advisors and then I'll make my final decision. What if you were able to tell them, well, that's fine, but we do have a process. So I'm happy to take you through, our initial client interview process, member client conversion, and it's going to be an extraordinary experience that knocks their socks off, just the initial client interview. But fine, we can schedule an initial client interview. So we do have a process, but I'm not sure what you're looking for, Mr. and Mrs. Potential Client, but if, and I say it's a big if what you're looking for is what we are delivering, if what you're looking for is the services I describe at the initial client interview, I can save you some time. There is nobody else in town who delivers at the what we deliver. It's just not available to you through any other firm. So imagine you being so radically different by following these four steps that the no potential client could find any firm in your community that is able or willing to deliver on all the things that you're delivering. So, and you can do this. Like I keep saying over and over, everything we train is easy. It's just not effortless. It requires 20 hours a week of client acquisition, 20 hours a week minimum of client service, or before you have enough clients to require 20 hours a week of client service, it'll take you that 20 hours a week to build your team and get everything in place to deliver at that level service. All I'm wanting to point out to you is it's a step-by-step process. So that's it for today. I just wanted to go through client acquisition, client conversion, client service. Client acquisition is four skills. Client conversion is an eight elements for an effective process for initial client interviews. And then client service is a four-step process. It's easy, but it's not effortless. So that's really all I've got for today. I do ask you every month to assess your progress. That means, do you have your team in place currently? How long have you been in this program? Do you have all five SMEs in place? Have you required your subject matter experts to create a checklist around the 10 client deliverables that we provide you so that you've got a thorough checklist for every ideal client? So that you know when that checklist is completed on an annual basis, you have delivered on your promise. You have delivered the 10 client deliverables. I can tell you my list has 142 deliverables checkpoints. So if you have, if your checklist for your ideal clients is less than 142, I would suggest you reach out and we work together to review your checkpoints because something is probably missing. Are you charging at least $10,000 to create an overarching strategy, like a plan for your clients? If not, we need to work with you this upcoming year. Is the three-meeting process being followed for your ideal clients, not for your non-ideal clients? Remember, with non-ideal clients, we recommend create a plan for $10,000 to $20,000 and then no further obligations to that person unless they come back and hire you again to update their plan. But if for those that are in your ideal client community, have you booked the three-meeting process out for the next 12 months? If not, you should reach out with a coaching question with whatever you're struggling with. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, in which case we'll help you. Number five, has every subject matter expert provided a minimum of 10 impressive action items for each ideal client over the last 12 months? So this goes to the two expectations. Are your SMEs actually impressing your clients? And so six and final criteria, you know, have you assessed this? How many ideal clients have you acquired over the past 12 months? We're at a perfect time. We're in the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas right now. So this is the time when you need to look back on this full year and think, did I acquire enough clients this year to make me happy, to meet my goals? Did I generate enough new revenue over the last 12 months to achieve my goals and to make me satisfied that I'm on track. So you need to assess these things. I can tell you that if you are implementing all six of these things at any level, I'm saying even at a 30% level, then you will start to see unsolicited client referrals come in. So as always, I remind you, we use a lot of vernacular in our program. Just today, we use the 3-meeting process and the 10 client deliverables. If you and your team are struggling with just the lingo that we use in this program, then you can go to mastery.link and there's a lexicon listing every kind of weird term and acronym that we use in this program. This is very helpful, especially to your administrative support person who's trying to keep up and understand even just what we're talking about when we talk about implementing these three skills: client acquisition, client conversion, client service. So these are all the terms that we use, in, at least in our program. What's my best advice entering the new year? If you just started doing one thing that you're not doing now, it would be to start tracking your business activity on a weekly basis. So my question to you is, are you aware that we have already set up for you a tracking spreadsheet in the cloud? And that we are asking you, as a member of this program, to go in there and update that every single week. So my advice is that you invest the 5 minutes that it takes to complete your business activity spreadsheet every week, just to update that spreadsheet. And if you're unclear on what I'm talking about, like where is this spreadsheet and how do I fill it out? How's all that work? Well, that's really the most important thing to leave you with on any of these monthly sessions. It's that you should be contacting us. We can tell the advisors that are getting traction because they contact us more frequently. We know when you're contacting us 2 or 3 times every week with something you're struggling with, we know that we have now partnered up with you to help you push through whatever your obstacles are. So we recommend that you contact us whenever you're struggling with anything. If it's a technical issue, you can just type out, contact us. And, like if you need some content that I talk about, like today I described the 10 client deliverables. If you need to know where that is or something, you can just type out that request and my staff will get back with you. But if what you need is help with pushing through some obstacle in your business, I recommend, and you'll have an option for doing this when you click contact us, that you select the option where you leave a message for me. I far prefer it if you explain what your obstacle is or what your question is rather than type it out in sort of an email format. I recommend that if you want my help directly, that you click the link and leave me a message. Just explain what your question is or your obstacle is, and I promise I'll get back with you. Or we'll select your question to highlight in the weekly session next month, and we'll cover it here. So let me see. There's one question. Thanks for time again. Okay, my pleasure, Mason. And if anybody has any questions going forward this next month from now to the end of the year, please get back with me before the first of the year and let me know which of the three areas you feel like you need the most help in 2024. Is it client acquisition, client conversion, our client service? And if you'll tell me that, I promise I will help you out this year and we'll get you across the finish line with your goals. Take care. Bye now.